Welcome to the very first episode of One of Us is Talking. I'm so excited to finally start this podcast. It's something that I've been planning for so long now, and I'm so excited to share it with all of you. This is a podcast for One of Us is Lying fans by a One of Us is Lying fan. I want to be able to talk all things One of Us is Lying. I want to get stories and theories from fans, stories from the production side of the show. I'm just so excited to talk about it and be able to share my thoughts too. The next few episodes, I have some very exciting guests coming up, all of which who have played a part in creating the show. And I can't wait to be able to share their stories with all of you guys too. Before we get into our very first conversation, make sure that you're following One of Us is Talking on Instagram. And you can find me on Twitter, Natewyn with the 3, NAT3WYN. My very first guest is Jess McLeod, who plays Janae Matthews. And without further ado, here they are.
Hi, Jess. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Thank you so much for being One of Us is Talking's very first guest.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine, truly.
This is very exciting. So when people first saw this happen on Twitter, they saw you said that I could interview you. They wanted to know the story behind your secret fan account Twitter last year. Did you know you were using an unseen Natewyn picture?
No, it was a rookie move and I regret it. But no, I don't. It was really fun. It was like, I didn't know though. I did not know.
Okay. Cause I remember that. And I just remember the account following me and it looked a little bit suspicious.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the picture and I was like, I don't think I've seen this before. I asked around, no one had seen it.
You guys are all geniuses. Like, you guys are all on like some, you guys are so detailed. It's so funny.
And then I think I DM'd the account and I said, did a cast member post this? And then it got deactivated.
And then I said, but I was like going into it. I was like, they're probably going to know. It's me.
Because you had No,
go ahead.
You had just done the takeover like the day before. And you were like, yeah, I do look at one of us.
I'm all over the Twitter. You know, it was like, I think that sort of cemented my place within the Twitter community. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, we're glad to have you, especially those emojis for season 2.
Mm-hmm.
That was, where did you get that idea?
I'm sure I had seen it done before. But I think honestly, I was like really bored in New Zealand one day and I was like, I'm gonna do this.
And did you see a lot of people like guessing stuff correctly and you couldn't really say anything? And
there were definitely a few. I feel like it's so interesting because I feel that Peacock is pretty hands off when it comes to, like, at least for me, my social media presence. I feel like I don't really have much of an Instagram presence, and then I'm on Twitter all the time. I don't even know that they know that I have a Twitter. So I'm always a little bit like, I don't want them to find me out. Mm-hmm. So then I toe the line of, am I spoiling too much? What should I say? What shouldn't I say? But I thought it was really fun. I was nervous that I would somehow post an emoji that would then, because I know how smart you all are, would then like trickle down and be like a huge spoiler. I was a little nervous about that. So I was pretty careful with my choices.
Yeah, no, they were good. Cause it was enough for like people to like get the excitement, but I feel like there was a lot that you had to see the show to understand.
Yes.
And then the Bronwyn and Janae friendship. Like, I mean, I'm a fan of it. I love it. Was that something that the writers thought of? Did it kind of come from your friendship with Marianne Lee?
It definitely came from the writers. I mean, yeah, like Mari and I are very good friends, but we're not at all, like our dynamic is not from Janae at all. So I thought it was a very natural choice. Just given that like Bronwyn and Janae are definitely like the strongest, most opinionated members of Murder Club. So it makes sense that they would kind of go up against each other. And they're just so different personality wise in so many ways, more than anyone else in the group. So I think it made a lot of sense that there was a bit of an enemies to besties journey. Yeah. And I'm glad that they did it. Mari and I had so much fun. I remember getting the script for episode 3 when it starts and we're at the restaurant together. And I said to her, I was just like, oh, I think we're friends. Like, I think we're going to be friends now. I was like, the first scene is us together at a restaurant. And she was like, oh, and we hadn't had scenes one-on-one. So it was very fun for us. Yeah.
Yeah, no, the dynamics there. And I mean, I feel like it was a hit on Twitter. Everyone loves it. So fingers crossed in a season 3, we'll see more. And I mean, you had such an outstanding performance in both season 1 and season 2. But how did you get into acting? I mean, I feel like it seems so natural for you.
I got into acting. I just always really wanted to do it when I was a kid. And my mom, nobody in my family does anything even artistic at all. So it was an uphill battle for me. And when I was 6 or 7, my mom was working in a hotel, and I would go with her on weekends because my mom's a single mom. And then there was a young actors like workshop being held in one of the sketchy convention rooms or something, and I saw that and I was like, I want to do it. And my mom was like, if you can get them to let you in for free, yeah, you can, whatever. She's probably annoyed by me. So then he let me do it for free. And then I think he's probably just very entertained by my like wanting to do it so bad. And then he kind of got me an agent, and then I got my first audition, which was for a Lotto 649 commercial, which is our Canadian like lottery. And I got the part, and then it was just kind of like doing it ever since.
Oh wow, okay. Yeah. And singing, is that something that you've always been passionate about too? Did that kind of go hand in hand with acting?
Yeah, I was in choir and stuff. I feel like I was a really, really creative, artistic kid. I just wanted to do all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so Janae's character, was he supposed to always sing, or was that something that you brought to the character?
The audition scene was singing Fuck You.
Oh, okay.
Which was terrifying to receive. I hate singing in film and TV auditions. It's always so awkward. It almost never plays the way that it's supposed to, because it's like, what am I gonna bring in a karaoke instrumental track and like play it in the middle of the scene? It's so awkward every time. So I was like, I want this part. How can I make this not awkward? And then so I rented a ukulele and then learned it on the ukulele and then brought that in. So I brought the ukulele part, but the song was already in the script. It was just supposed to be like Janae does a little like hit it, and then I was like, no, thank you so much.
No, that's cool to hear, because I know that even all of your singing scenes, like everyone loves them. They're actually so iconic. Like, I feel like Janae's just such an iconic character, especially for social media and Twitter. I feel like the memes.
Yeah, doesn't your mom love Janae? Yeah. The Fuck You, yeah, song specifically?
Yes.
That's so, yeah, funny. That's so funny to me. Yeah. I don't know why that tickled me.
It's hysterical. Because she had watched it with me when it first came on. And my sister was at college. She came home for the weekend. She's like, you have to watch the show. They sing the Fuck You song. And I'm like, that's what you took away from this? And she thought you wrote it. So
yes.
One day we were in the car right after like the first batch of episodes had premiered, and she's like, play that song. So I play it, but it's Lily Allen's version because I'm like, I don't know. And she goes, this isn't the one from the TV show. And I go, oh. She's like, yeah, they wrote it for that. I'm like, they didn't, but
no.
So yeah, she's a fan.
I love that so much. Just something is just very like, that's, I love that a mom would like that so much. It's just like, okay. What was I was gonna ask a question. Like your presence on Twitter and your presence of like One of Us is Lying, you were a fan before of the books, I know, but did you, when you saw the show, what kind of was so exciting to you about it?
I don't know. I think obviously the cast, you guys, you're all amazing. The talent you brought, like, I think that was a big part of it. I think just seeing the characters come to life on screen. Also, I majored in film and television production. So I just kind of love that whole thing of it. And I don't know, I was a Pretty Little Liars fan, and I know like there's comparison that like it's similar, but like I just think it's done better, and I think it's just very enthralling, and like it really gets your attention. And I think even just the community on Twitter, I've met some of my best friends through the show, so I think that's really
so
helpful.
Nice. That's, yeah, so nice to hear. I love that. That's great.
Yeah, so I think it was just a mix of those things, and I think the cast, all of you guys, I mean, I don't know. I think you're just very, I don't know how to word it, like welcoming towards the fans. And yeah, I think it's just, you guys play a big part.
Yeah, I'll say because I've been doing this longer than I think anyone else in the cast. And so I've had like a lot of experiences with kind of different ages of cast members, different groupings. And I was really nervous going into the pilot because I was the only Canadian series regular. I was like, oh, I'm gonna be super on the outside here. It's a bunch of young people. I don't know how that's gonna be. You hear horror stories all the time of everyone's like, oh, you know, people like shows with a bunch of young people. It always gets really competitive and dramatic and blah, blah, blah. And I'll really give this one, I think Jennifer Morrison, the pilot director, did like a genius thing where, sure, we all can play the characters, but I think she really got a sense, or she tried to get as best a sense she could of who we were as people, and then built a group of people who were similar and who were not competitive and who were supportive of each other and supportive of other artists. I know that she did that very consciously, and it has made such a difference. Like these people are all genuinely great friends to me and to everyone else. And it's so refreshing. This show would not happen if that wasn't the case. And it wouldn't have, I think, like, you can like feel the warmth between everybody, I think, when you watch it. That's one of my favorite things about it, mm-hmm. and maybe for you too. And I just think that that's so rare. So I think it's cool that you look at the cast and that's the feeling that you get, because that's the feeling that I have like on the show.
Yeah, it definitely radiates off you guys. And I think you can see it on screen. Like you can tell, even though you're playing a part, that the characters are like, the closeness that they even have, you can tell is genuine, and it wouldn't happen if it wasn't like the right group or if people didn't get along. So you can really see that there. And I think that's what pulls a lot of people in on Twitter too, just seeing that. Yeah. I had one weird thing on that. Something with the pilot. I can't. Oh yes. I do remember when your Instagram account was watch me whip, watch me Janine.
Yeah.
That was like, that's when I got pulled in. I remembered. It was like, right when you guys got like picked up, I remember finding the account and I was like, I don't know who this is. And then it kind of came to me, but I was like, oh, that's Janae.
Because I didn't have Instagram before that.
Oh, wow.
So, and for the show, they were kind of like, you should have it. And I said, okay, I'll kind of have it. And yeah, I'm not a big social media person in general, but Twitter is
yeah
preferred social media. But yeah, that Instagram, I literally made it for the show so I could be in the cast group chat. Miss out on things. So I didn't have FOMO.
I totally get that because you can't catch me posting on my regular Instagram, but I'll be on Twitter. So I feel that. Yeah. And a little vacation. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It was, I mean, I think I felt all the emotions like watching it. I think they're all there. You feel like I can see where you definitely get like the sadness, the heaviness, but there's also that feeling of like hopefulness and that you're not alone. Like, I mean, it was such an emotionally really, I don't know, it touched me. And I feel like I can't wait for everyone to see it. Do you have a release date yet?
No, we are still trying to get into some more festivals and see how that goes. And then, yeah, I guess a whole other part that we have to do is figure out how we're going to distribute it and how to get the rights for the music when we distribute it and all that stuff. So hopefully within the next year, but yeah.
Fingers crossed. What was the process of creating it?
Yeah, so I think you said in your questions, it was originally for Crazy Eights, which is a Vancouver short film competition. So we made it to the second to last, like essentially the final round before they choose the six films that they're gonna produce. And then you make it in 48 hours. That's the idea. You make it, you shoot in like 3 days and then you make it, you do the post in 3 days. It's like a very specific timeline. Mm-hmm. But so we did a video submission and then we pitched it in 3 minutes in a video. And then we did a in-person pitch that was 10 minutes. And then that was top 40 to top 12, which was story editing and like table reads and that kind of stuff. And then once we found out that we didn't get in, it was kind of always the idea that we would make it anyway. And I'm honestly glad that we didn't get in because they had a lot of control over creatively the story when we were in the competition. So I'm kind of glad there were some things we went back and changed and then things that we added that we wouldn't have been able to. And it was such a great experience. And Eva, who directed it, is my roommate and my best friend. And I think what she did with it, it feels so like her, which I think is such a feat for someone who's not really directed anything on that scale. To make something that feels so purely in her voice is quite impressive. We wrote it together and it's based on my life. Like almost all of those scenes and characters and dialogue, like for I would say like 75% of that is true, like almost verbatim. So that was really cool to like for me to bring my experience and then for Eva to kind of see it from a director's perspective. And then we kind of got into this flow of give and take creatively, and it was really fun.
I think it felt so real and raw, and you can connect with your character in it. But it, like I said, it just felt so hopeful. And it's amazing to see how you were able to kind of start with this concept and bring it to something so big and so huge. And I know even, I think I had mentioned I had written a short script on mental health, and that was like my final capping project. And it does take a lot out of you to kind of tap into this, especially when it's something that is coming from your own experience. But I think you and Eva did just such a amazing job. And it's funny because when I was writing my script, I was writing it alongside one of my good friends at college, and her name was also Eva. So,
oh my God, really?
Yes.
That's so spooky.
Yes, that's actually kind of crazy. Yeah.
Wow. So,
yeah. But I mean, I think this film, I'm sorry, my dogs are, I can sing this come to life. I mean, for you, it must be really a phenomenal feeling. And who was in charge of picking the music?
So we picked Die Young together. We were looking for something really specific that was morbid and really upbeat, mm-hmm. which is a hard thing to find. So we picked that together, and then Eva actually, I think just on her Discover Weekly, found Tomorrow and then kind of pitched it to the team, and yeah, and then it ended up working so well with the flow of it all. Yeah.
Tomorrow has made it to all my playlists. It's such, it's so, like, I don't know, I just feel so good when I listen to it, and I feel like it's very upbeat, even if it kind of has, like, if it gets you at like a tough time in your life, it kind of has like that pull. And I do remember, I don't know if you remember this, you asked about songs similar to Die Young on your Instagram. That was like, again, like the beginning of like when I first started like following the cast kind of last year. And I remember replying and I'm like, oh my goodness, they're probably going to think I'm crazy. But
I looked at every single reply. I did so, I had so much music to go through. Because we were worried that we wouldn't get the rights to that song. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of looking for good substitutes in case that one didn't come through. And then I think it came through like the first day of shooting.
Oh, wow.
So we were kind of going in being like, we might have to shoot two versions. We might do one with Dae Young. We might do one with a different song that we kind of had on the back burner. And then, yeah, it came through on the first day of shooting, I think. And then I told Eva, and I remember she was just like sobbing. She was so excited.
That must have been such a great feeling to be able to like have this song. You, yeah.
Yeah. That's yeah, so for Kesha to be like, yeah, you can use my song. And we were like, oh, this is so cool. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's so exciting. And if you could go back in time to the very beginning of starting A Little Vacation, what's one piece of advice you'd give to yourself?
It's a great question. I'm my initial reaction to that is I feel like I wouldn't have wanted to go back and tell myself anything in advance because I feel like the learning experience was so informative for me that I almost would not want to touch it. If that makes sense. Like, I think I learned so much, and if I had seen any of it coming, I might not have learned it the same way. So I think nothing. I would just be like, be as present as you can.
Sometimes it is good to go into that all with just like a clear mind. And I mean, it's a learning curve, but it's exciting. And then lastly, is there any advice you have for viewers who maybe want to go into acting or screenwriting or filmmaking?
I think if it's something that you really want to do, I feel like as long as you keep in contact with the most like pure part of you that loves it, kind of like think back to the first time that you ever wanted to do it and why, and the thing that makes you most excited about it, I feel like you just can't go wrong. There's no thing that you can write if it's going to come from that place that's not going to feel correct, or like correct is such an unhelpful word in art, but that's not going to feel true, I guess, or necessary, or yeah, important to read. And there's no performance that's going to happen if it's not performance that's going to happen that's going to be like bad or unimportant if it's coming from that place, because it's really easy to get, for me, to get distracted by a lot of other parts of this industry. It can be very overwhelming and scary, and there's so many roads to go down. But if you just check back in with where it really comes from for you, then the path will be very clear, and you just have to kind of keep checking in and like ride with that and do what it is that you really, really want to do, not what you think you should do or what people want to see from you, because ultimately no one will ever be able to tell you, I want to see that from you, unless they, unless you show them first. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's such great advice. Thank you. And I know there's a lot of people who will take that to heart, because I feel like it's such a scary road too, when it's all out in front of you and there's so many different paths to take and so many different things to try. So yeah, it's nice to hear something like that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for all of your time today. I'm so excited to get this edited and out. And thank you for being One of Us is Talking's first guest.
Such a thrill.
Well, there you have it. A huge thank you again to Jess McLeod for being my first guest. My very next episode is going to be All Things One of Us is Lying Christmas, Season 2, Episode 5. And for that podcast episode, I will be joined by Rick and Vinny, the writers of Simon Says Ho Ho Ho. I hope you guys are as excited as I am. If you like what you heard, make sure to share the podcast on social media, share it with your friends, and let me know who you would like to hear next on One of Us is Talking. I'm Allison, and I'll see you next time.